This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
Welcome to Your Valuable Home, the show that's about education for homeowners and residential real estate investors, because educated buyers make smart choices on home purchases and improvements. I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, host of Your Valuable Home.
Hi, and I'm Ron Milk, producer, co-host, and homeowner advocate. If you're a homeowner or have investment real estate, we've got your back.
You'll learn how to choose a contractor, get and compare estimates, check quality construction, and avoid huge upfront payments. We'll share home improvement trends, projects in the works, and homeowner horror stories.
We interview experts from across the country about everything from new building products, homeowners insurance, leveraging home equity, what's hot in real estate, which products make for an unhealthy home, and more.
Your Value of Home airs Sundays at 6 p.m. thanks to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with four locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley.
Tom Adams is the friendly, family-owned place known for award-winning installation and customer service and a wide selection of windows, doors, flooring, siding, and much more. Tom Adams has been satisfying customers throughout the region for 64 years. Okay, Kev, what time is it?
Time to start the show.
You got it.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamud and Associates Law Studios.
Welcome home to Your Valuable Home with Kevin Kennedy and Ron Milk. Presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you own a home, this show's for you.
And I thank our listeners for coming back to another great show here at Your Valuable Home.
We got a good one today. Yep.
So, listen, Brown, before we get started, I want to give a shout-out to all my Blazers fans over here. So, I coach down at the Flyer Skate Zone. And the Blazers team that I'm coaching, the 18U national team, we're doing well. We're hanging in there as an American team and a national. But I want to give a shout-out to all the players for hanging in there and giving it your all.
And listening to the show.
And listening to the show. Yeah, okay. So, now we got to get into the replay. And now the replay that we're going to talk about is a up-and-coming job that I'm going to be doing, but it's going to be a few months out because there's so many moving parts with this. It's going to be siding and windows, and we're going to marry them together with doing the rubbers and the underlayment. So we get to talk a little bit about, which is not so much a replay, but a college, but sometimes we can mix the two when we talk about a job that we're going to be doing. So the job that I've got
coming up. It's a replay in the making.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be a little bit of college because, again, it's I had to explain to the homeowner the different ways of breaking down estimates and getting, well, finally, long story short, is she went with us. And the reason why she went with us is because the knowledge that I had to give her. She said, well, listen, you know, one of the reasons why is you were honest with me. I said, well, what do you mean honest? She said, well, listen, you weren't trying to be pushy.
Yeah, that goes a long way.
It does.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really does. But you know what? It wasn't where I was trying to hide anything. I was completely upfront with her. And I said, listen, some of the things you need to do when you're asking questions is to, number one, who's doing the workmanship? And that's when her husband was sitting on the side. He goes, yeah, I kind of saw you working at the house prior this summer. And that's how I got to meet the people. I said, listen, that's not, anytime you, any of my homeowners or potential clients want to come to the job, just stop on down. Dave and I work with them every day. So I'm the one physically doing the siding. But mm-hmm. So we got into talking about siding and she broke down the estimates on what she thought was right. And I had some more questions on myself that I said, listen, you should be asking this. So when you're ready, if you want to choose us, yeah, you can do that. But the siding look that she's looking for is something that's going to be really fantastic. And it's something that's more on the up and up. It's veneer stones we're going to be putting on, the windows, the siding, the color. And what sold her the most is that when we talked about the siding. Now, the siding that I had proposed her was a Pro-Via siding. It's an insulated panel called the Cedar Max.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-inch foam board that's applied
to the
siding.
What about the windows, too?
Well, the windows, we're doing Marvin windows.
Oh, okay.
So everything's coming from Tom Adams Windows.
So this is some dough.
You're spending some money.
Mm-hmm.
But the siding is the big thing. And this is where I won her heart over. I said, well, listen, the siding, the reason why I use this siding now is because I can go to the 6-6, 7-7 without any of that oil can warping. It doesn't look wavy.
What is that, 6-6, 7-7? What does that mean for anybody who doesn't understand that?
So very simple for homeowners. When you see the lines on your house,
yep.
Well, those lines are
fewer lines?
A lot less lines.
Got it.
Most
okay.
of the time you see a house with a lot of lines, that's mm-hmm. a 4-4. Every 4 inches is that panel. So it's a 4-4, meaning an 8-inch panel.
Mm-hmm.
We're applying a 6-6 panel.
Which is, I think it's trending today, isn't it?
Well, what they're trying to do is replicate the fiber cement boards that have 7, 7.5 inches. So they're trying to replicate that.
It's a great look.
It is a great look. I put it on the Shore House. I've been doing every house. I do the same thing. And the reason when I said to her, hey, listen, one thing nice about it is it doesn't oil can. We can get to the larger panels. She said, yeah, well, what about the
oil can?
So the oil can is ripples in the siding.
Gotcha.
They look like cans,
okay.
And somebody's behind there with a like a Campbell's can that's actually pushing it from behind the siding. So you see the little ripples in it.
Okay.
So it minimizes that. So they can go to a larger panel, which the lines can be spread apart bigger because of that structural integrity of that foam board that's applied directly to the siding.
I got you.
But everybody was selling it. Hey, this siding here is going to be great. And she would say, well, why? Well, it's a foam board. You're going to get your energy savings. It's going to pay itself off in a year. First thing I said, this siding price for the upgrade that you're paying for, your house is new. It's never going to pay itself off. And you're not going to get the residual value on it. What you're paying for is the look. And that's what sold them over. But I said, well, the husband said, what do you mean? I said, well, that foam board has a minimal insulation in it. Your house has plenty of insulation in it. The Tyvek we're going to put on is going to stop the air from coming, which is a big part of it. But this is applied to the outside. So that extra insulation, you got to look at, is it going to save you money? Yeah, it could save you 10, 15, 20 cents on a newer home. If it was an older home, yeah, you're going to get even more savings. But the newer homes today have adequate insulation for the area that we're living in outside Philadelphia.
You would think, right?
But you got to look at the cost of that product. Yes, it does cost more, but that's in any panel that you buy from any manufacturer. It's going to be about the same cost. So that cost, you're going to spend the additional cost for that siding. When do you think you'll pay it off? And I said, honestly, it's about a 20-year payoff. But it's the look. Everything's about the look.
Will it bring you more money if you sell your house before the 20 years?
I honestly think it will.
Would think so, right?
Because it doesn't look like every house in America today. Anybody that has vinyl siding, they're putting the double four, double four and a half, maybe some double five.
Yeah, it's a now look. It's not a 1980 look.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
So you're getting that newer look, and it's going to look great for the next 20 years. So yeah, you might spend about another $2,000 on a large size home for this product. It doesn't install any different. Maybe 10% more because you can't cut it with snips easily. So if you try a pair of shears that cut this, it's going to be difficult because you have that 1-inch foam board.
Gotcha.
You need to have the proper equipment, which is a saw table that we use to cut the panels.
Okay.
Cuts easier, cuts cleaner, installs quicker. But if you have all the panels, it doesn't take really that
much.
Got
a question for you too. Did she decide to do her windows and siding at the same time, or did you talk to her about the wisdom of doing that?
It was about the wisdom.
Okay.
Because they were asking, hey, can we? And I said, listen, I'm not here to push sales on you. I don't want to do that. But I'd rather be honest with you, saying you're going to get a better deal if you do them together. Because number one, I'm pulling the siding off anyway. For me to do the window, it's already off. So I can save my time.
How old were the windows?
The windows themselves, the house was built in 2003.
Okay, so the windows are 16 years old.
They're getting up there.
Vinyl windows?
They're vinyl windows.
What's the life of a vinyl window?
The vinyls that were installed in her property about a year, maybe about 5 to 10 years. They were showing their life.
So they're beyond their life at
yeah,
this point.
Yeah, they're definitely having some
issues. So she didn't make a mistake by going with new windows?
Absolutely not. Well, when I was there, the window sills themselves were showing stains. And I said, well, that's water penetrating in. I said, in hard driving rain, it's penetrating in.
Right.
But again, if it's showing signs in your windowsill, which is above the wood sill, which is the framing of the house, you're probably having problems below this window. So the framing of the house and the plywood on the outside is probably going to have some damage to it.
I would think, yes.
Mm-hmm. So I said, at this point, we can
marry.
That
was the case in my house, remember?
Yeah. It's the case in a lot of people's homes today. They think that stucco problem is the problem. It's not really the problem, it's the windows. And if you don't start to prevent that and or prevent it from the beginning, you're going to continue to have those problems. And that's even with the new window that you put in. If you put a vinyl window in or even a high-end window, you just want to make sure. So that's why I wanted to put that product down. But what she's doing is it's the stonework. Because right now, the house, it's bland. The whole development, it's just white and tan siding and some clay siding. And it's double four. The windows are, it just looks basic. It looks very no frills. But again, I tell people that, listen, when you're buying a development house, that's probably what you want. Get your life out of it. Get your budget together so you can do the new windows that are going to be a lifetime. You're going to put veneer stone on, maybe different kinds of siding. We can do the batten board, which is vertical siding. Looks like panels.
Board and batten, yeah.
Yep, the strip up there. We're going to do a little cedar up in the gables. There's going to be a lot involved into this, so the house is going to look completely different.
Yeah, which is a now look. It's a now look.
It is a wow now look.
A wow now look.
So they're excited because everybody wants to get the products done quickly. I'm sure we've talked about it. Everybody's in a rush to get things done. During the winter is when you probably don't want to get it done because I don't want to be out there working. I said, look, we're set up for the springtime. She's the first job, full spring, which is like April, May, when we're going to be jumping into it. But it was great that they're excited about it. I'm excited to do it because it's going to give such a different look. And you'll know my jobs when you see them because these are the people that are...
I would think the Marvin windows alone are going to have a great resale value, right?
Well, what we're doing also, so here's one of the things we are doing. We're taking the double hungs out and putting casement windows in. And then I'm
around
just doing
the house?
Around the entire house.
Wow.
And by doing that, I'm putting a craftsman style grid pattern. So when you look at the window, it's three squares up top and that's it.
Yeah, it's like an arts and crafts house.
So you're getting a little bit more glass than you are with the double hung. So that's why we're doing that. But it's going to be a real neat look. And later in the year, we'll bring the homeowners on and we'll talk about it a little bit more. And you're listening to Your Valuable Home here on 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, stick with us. Our favorite, we got a doozer of a horror story coming up. Listen in.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets has been awarded Best Customer Service in 2019 by Window and Door Magazine's Best in the Country. Call Tom Adams Windows and Carpets and get a free in-home window and door estimate. Experience why Tom Adams and Windows family-owned company wins national awards for Best Customer Service and Best Installations. Get 12-month financing with no deposit. We do it right the first time. Check us out at TomAdamsWindowsAndCarpets.com.
This is Joe Krause of Krause's Coats inviting you to donate a slightly worn coat or jacket and help kids in need stay warm this winter. Go to Krause's Coats Facebook page. Join Haircuttery Helping Cradles to Crayons. Meet their need of 12,000 kids' coats. Happy holidays.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
For our host, Kevin Kennedy, call him directly, 215-364-3286.
Hey, you're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And now it's time for the horror story, Ron.
What do we got today?
Well, this one hit close to home with us.
Uh-oh.
I always say we have bad contractors. You also have bad real estate brokers. You get them out there.
Well, for the most part, they do their jobs pretty well. So what happened here?
Well, I thought it was a lack of inexperience with the realtor.
Lack of experience or inexperience?
Inexperience. Very frustrating when you have that because homeowners today are putting their faith when they sign with a realtor that they're going to be acting in their best behalf as you being a seller and or buyer.
Well, you make the leap of faith by picking the realtor and buying a house too. Make the same leap of faith.
7 years we've been on Your Valuable Home doing this. So I'm going into our seventh year. And every realtor that I've been dealing with, very well. I mean, I tell you, they're very good realtors. They know what they're doing. They understand the economy and they're knowing what they're doing. So they're protecting the agent. So basically what I did is I stood back. Again, knowing I'm not an expert at it, but I have a great understanding of what realtors and contracting, and I'm absorbing it all up. And I stood back and watched something transpire that was very upsetting to me. And it was watching a realtor who made a big mistake. So in the economy today, it's booming right now. It's phenomenal right now. So with the economy being that way, the houses are selling for more money and they can go into what's called a bidding war. So you put up a very good property and if the house is selling for, say, $500,000, you can get some buyers that are going to come in and want this house. So they're going to bid 510, 515. They're going to go back and forth till we go or you go or anybody goes with that
bid. Yeah, but when that happens, you want to make sure if somebody bids like $20,000 more than somebody else, you want to make sure that they're a qualified buyer too before you get sucked into something like that, you know?
Well, that's being that way, you have multiple bids. So you can always go back to the other one. But the situation, here's the two things that bother me. This realtor, number one, forgot to put a clause in there saying, hey, listen, if the house that we're going to be selling, if it appraises for less, then the buyer has to come to the table.
They got to come up with the cash.
With cash.
Right.
It's standard. All the realtors I talked to, really? Closing people, yeah. They said maybe half if they forgot to put it in, but something has to be in place before the contract is signed.
Mm-hmm.
Deal was made for a lot more than the appraisal and or the house was being sold for. So with that, the homeowner agreed to do the price with one of the buyers. And back and forth, they went to fix a few things on the property. Both buyer and seller agreed. The problems were fixed. House was sold. About 3 days later, the appraisal came in, which was much lower. So the homeowner was taking...
Much lower?
Much lower.
Okay.
It went to bidding war. The war was going back between two homeowners.
So the people drove it out of control.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got you.
And with a hot economy, I get it. The house was a great property.
Mm-hmm.
But the realtor should have had in place that, hey, by the way, if you want to bid this much, you got to be able to come with cash.
And what was the differential?
It was over $20,000.
$20,000.
Okay. So the homeowner was out $20,000. But here's the worst part, and this is when I was looking over it, was the realtor said, listen, at this point, this is all you're going to get. The realtor rolled on this person. Now, rolling means that just saying, hey, I'm going to get my commission check. I really don't care.
Rolled on the person, meaning the seller.
The seller.
Right.
The seller. So that's what a roll means, is that I call it that because basically they just said, hey, I want my commission, just sign because you're not going to do any better. Well,
this really astounds me, and I tell you why, because today... So many people are litigious, okay? And there's so many legalities involved in buying a house. I mean, when you go settle on a house, you're there for like 3 hours signing papers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you sign your life away, and there's cover yourself exercise for everybody. So I can't imagine why somebody would have done something like this.
You know, it's know your audience, I always say, because I was overseeing the whole thing and watching it. And again, I don't think the realtor knew who I was, but I was just absorbing everything. And then I'm trying to write these really inexperienced emails to the realtor saying, I don't know why this would happen. Why is that? And the person was right. Yeah, if your house comes in less the appraisal, that's all the mortgage is going to give you. But you should be putting a clause in there because every top realtor that I deal with does it. So this homeowner is now out of the money. And I said to the homeowner, I said, listen, selling a house is extremely frustrating because you need to sell, and or if you're trying to move and you want to get out,
right?
The paperwork, the aggravation you got to go through. I've done it a lot. I've been very fortunate to do this, but I know what I'm getting into. I know how this procedure works. People that don't know this, it's very frustrating. And most of the time, people just settle at that point and they're out the money. Because you think about it, if you have a $500,000 house, you're selling it for, say, hey, this happens to a person, it's $490,000. You're thinking, I'm still getting $490,000, but there's $10,000 on the line. I tell people, I'm going to put my hand out. Give me $10,000 right now. Then you can understand how much money was left at the table.
Yeah, but did this person choose to go after the money or no?
I'm very proud of this person. She actually walked the day of settlement and said, I'm not doing this. Forget it. I'm done. But again, the stress came... on, and it was just too much for that person.
She didn't choose to take any action against the realtor?
No. I think the homeowner was just happy that it's done. But when I am... So this horror story is for...
Yeah, there are two ways of looking at that. Either A, I'm going to teach somebody a lesson so they don't do it again and go after them, okay? And this would not have been an easy one or a hard one to win. It wouldn't have been.
No.
It's like a slam dunk. Or... I don't want the aggravation. Leave me alone. I'm just going to sell my house and be done with it.
Yeah, and be done with it.
Yeah.
So basically, I was talking to my wife about it, and I said, well, listen, I really want this property. And I see that clause is not in there, and I want this house, and it's a $500,000 house. I'm going to offer you $700 million. Well, why wouldn't you buy one? I'm going to give you $700 million. If that clause is not in there, the appraisal comes in at 501.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it's going to be, because that's the appraisal rate. So that's all I can give you, because that's all I'm going to get a mortgage for. That clause was not in there. So I just outbid everybody.
It wasn't in the contract.
It was not in the contract from the beginning, but that should have been in there.
Should have been. Even that's what I say. I don't understand how that happened.
The seller should have walked away from the beginning. But again, everyone's like, I got to get my house sold. Am I going to be able to get an opportunity to sell it again? And I put my two cents in saying it's going to sell. It took 24 hours to get two buyers to start overbidding to go and bid more. I said, it's going to sell. And this was over a two and a half week period. But this is a horror story for anybody getting ready to sell the house. There's realtors out there. They just don't care. They want your money. And I tell people, listen, I'm going to become a realtor. I'm going to sell your house for $700 million. Well, you're going to go with me if it's a $300,000 house because I'm going to get you that money. Well, first bid I'm going to get, I'm going to say, yeah, this is great. It's all you can get. Sign with me. I'm getting my 5% or 2.5% or 3%,
right,
my part of the commission. You've got to ask these questions ahead of time. If you don't know that realtor, you got to understand that realtor might not be the best realtor for you. And the question you should ask, hey, it's a hot economy right now. Is that clause going to be in there? So if it does go to bidding war, can I get that money out? And usually it's done in there. So if you don't have that clause in place, you're going to be out money just like this homeowner was.
Well, there are two realtors, right? Was it the same realtor for buy and sell?
No, it was two different realtors.
Somebody should have picked up on that.
Yeah, the seller jumped on board because they knew at that point when the seller had that or the buyer had that, the buyer said, listen, we might as well overbid because we know when the appraisal comes in less, that's going to be the bid.
Yeah, we're not liable for it.
Right. So now the seller is out all that money. So think about that. It's just not right. So again, that's why the horror story is not just contractors. It could be anybody. But this is something that hit close to me, and I was overseeing it, and it was extremely frustrating that somebody did this to.
So if anybody's really attuned into this, and you want to buy a house, and you don't see that clause in there, you can offer anything you want.
Absolutely. So get a really good realtor. Ask a lot of questions, even though you might know the realtor. Asking questions doesn't hurt to make sure that you're covered. So thanks for listening here in Your Valuable Home at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And stick with us because we've got somebody who really knows the Charleston market for anybody who's invested in residential real estate.
I'm looking forward to this.
Great town to think about.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Service in 2019 by Window and Door Magazine's Best in the Country. Call Tom Adams Windows and Carpets and get a free in-home window and door estimate. Experience why Tom Adams and Windows family-owned company wins national awards for best customer service and best installations. Get 12-month financing with no deposit. We do it right the first time. Check us out at TomAdamsWindowsAndCarpets.com.
Welcome home. This is Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
And you're back here with Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And Ron, it's time for the college. And what do we got going on today?
This is one of my favorite subjects. We appeal to residential real estate investors too. And we have with us on the phone Tom Chance. He's in the real estate business with Coldwell Banker Hearthside in Bucks County, but he's also a real estate investor. And Tom happens to have a lovely home near the beach or on the beach in a place that I love, Charleston, South Carolina, right? And you're on Folly Beach, right?
That is correct, and it's first row.
First row.
Right on the beach.
Aha, there you go. But you got a broad knowledge of the Charleston area, Tom. I know we've talked about it many times, so I want to get into that.
Sure.
I'm familiar with Charleston from Kiowa. I've been to Kiowa a number of times, stayed in the house there, they have nice condos there. It's a beautiful part of the world, but it's also a hot market for residential real estate investors looking for one or two different types of properties, either a property to rent to vacationers or a property to rent to full-time residents. And I want to get into both sides of that. Why
sure.
did you choose to buy a vacation property in the Charleston area?
Say again, please.
Why did you choose to buy a vacation property in the Charleston area?
Well, beginning with the fact that my wife and I had visited the area over time for 3 or 4 years, and we liked the area, and we thought it would be a great place to visit and maybe even invest in real estate down there. Further to that, the prices were reasonable. The weather was delicious. It's a convenient from a standpoint of flying down there. The culture is terrific, and that's pretty much all the reasons for it.
Well, let me ask you something. How long have you had the property?
A little over 3 years.
3 years. Did you look at stuff like what's it going to cost for, I guess, flood? You got to have flood insurance where you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it more because you're in like the hurricane belt down there?
Well, that's a good question. If you live in a coastal area or have a property in a coastal area, you have to be cognizant that, particularly in the south, that there's going to be an occasional storm that may visit you. And fortunately, there is flood insurance that used to be part of FEMA, the federal government, and now it's been privatized, thank goodness, because the rates are considerably less, about 50% less, but the coverage is almost three times than what it was before.
Since it was privatized?
That's correct.
All right, so basically, so anybody who's buying a coastal property in the Charleston area has got to confront the flood insurance, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're on the beach and one row back, by all means, it may be an absolute requirement. But people don't, you know, the fact that you can have a Hurricane Sandy visit your front door up in New York and other places, you know, people live with it and they enjoy their life and not worry about it.
Yeah, all right. I mean, what does flood insurance cost down there? I'm sure if you have more storms, more of the hurricanes, because they're not hitting up in the Philadelphia,
New York area. You have to pay for it, too, don't you?
I have to pay for it also. Okay. So, I mean, ballpark, is it something that it's going to be on the size of the house, or is there a set fee that you're paying down there?
There is, of course, rates that are determined on what kind of a flood zone that your property is located in. I would say overall, certain places like Jersey, where you might be, and also where it's placed on the beach area, you know, that determines what your rate is going to be. Some folks have your coverage is up to $650,000. So some folks are paying maybe hundreds of dollars a year. Other folks are paying thousands of dollars a year.
Okay, so
yeah, we're
size of the house
of dollars.
Matters, right? Size and value of the house matters.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. Can you give us an overview of the market for properties in the Charleston area that would attract vacationers? We don't talk about vacation properties first and then moving out, because you and I have had this conversation before, properties that you might rent to local residents. But let's talk about vacation properties first. What are some of the areas?
Now, when you say vacation properties, are you talking about the folks coming down to visit and have a vacation, or as a real estate investor?
As a real estate investment.
Okay. There's a lot of opportunities for a real estate investor, you know, to rent properties, as I do, to vacationers. And number one on the list is the draw of people coming to Charleston is rather amazing, because Charleston every year seems to be on the most, like the top 10 best cities to visit, best cities to live in, best cities in terms of quality of life, and most importantly, one of the best foodie places on the face of the earth.
A foodie place. If you're a foodie, you want to go to Charleston. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. So that's it's there for folks, whether they you know, want to buy a townhouse to rent, whether they want to buy a condo to rent, whether they want to own an individual home to rent as an investment property. The key also is this. Our real estate investment property, unlike, let's say, the Jersey Shore, the rental season in the Jersey Shore is probably at the most, Kevin, what, 6 months, you know, May to October, something like that.
Yeah, down there, correct. You can stretch it, right?
Yeah. It's 12 months a year. We have folks that come in, stay for Christmas from England. We have people who come down in July. People come in February for a lot of events that occur in Charleston. Again, there's always something going on in Charleston, and you know, that's highly desirable. But the other piece of that is Charleston is in a very significant growth, economic growth, and has been for a while and will probably continue to do so. So business is good, vacationers are good, and a lot of folks want to be down there.
And Tom, I have a question for you. It's a two-part question. Number one, since you have a vacation home in Charleston, number one is how far are you from Kiawah Island Golf Resort? And number two is why haven't you invited me down yet?
Well, Kevin, I thought you were going to ask some kind of a question like that. To give you a perspective, Kiawah Island is the golf paradise. It is about 27, 28 miles from Charleston, which is not bad at all. And from my place on Folly Beach, it's probably about 21 miles. So you can stay
Even
in
better.
Folly Beach, go to dinner in Charleston. And, oh, by the way, I want to invite Kevin to play golf at the Ocean Course, which
I'm getting excited.
Be mindful that the Ocean Course is probably one of the great golf courses in the whole world, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Been there. I saw the senior PGA there about 8 years ago. It's a wonderful place.
Well, I'm headed down there right after we get done this segment on the show because I want to get down there. It's a little chilly here right now. So let's all head down. But that's got to be great for real estate investors who want to invest in that because that's what someone like me, if I'm going to be doing, Charleston's a great place. It's got great, it's a great golf town area, and it's got one of the most premier golf resorts
well, I got news
in the country.
For you. I got news for you. They got reasonably priced condos on Kiawah Island. I mean, the houses are, you can't touch them. I mean, just out of control. Right, Tom?
Well, that's correct. And even those condos down in Kiawah, in terms of reasonability, is not even close to what is available for folks up in the Charleston area. And also, you know, down in my area in Folly Beach, because part of Kiawah, Kiawah has an international draw. Charleston does also, by the way, but Kiawah has an international draw for folks who want to retire there because of the golf and the weather, and also a state of South Carolina. The overall cost of living is lower, except in Kiawah real estate. The weather, let's put it this way, up here in Bucks County, it's going to be 42 degrees at the moment, and down Charleston this afternoon, it's going to hit 68 degrees. Now,
there's
a lot of things you can do when the weather is at 68 degrees versus 42, one of which is play better golf.
Correct.
Give us an idea of what prices are like down there, say for a 3- and 4-bedroom home and a condo. In the Charleston, not necessarily on Kiawah, but in the Charleston area.
Well, let's cross Kiawah off the list because that's an entirely different
world.
Yeah.
Yep.
And again, it's not big for vacationers because it is expensive, very expensive in all aspects. In terms of again where we are in Charleston. I sort of lost my track there. Ask the question again, if you would.
Give us an idea of prices. We're down to about 1 minute on this before we go to break.
Sure. In terms of a single, I'm talking about new housing. You can find properties 4-bedroom, 2.5 baths, 2,600 square feet in certain areas outside of Charleston, particularly in the area of Somerville. About 287 to 325.
Really?
Brand new.
Really?
That's a big draw. Condos you can find in the 180 to probably about 300,000, maybe a little bit less than that. And I'm focusing more on new properties.
So what is your rent you're going to be drawing in off that, say, $300,000 townhouse?
I would say overall, I'll give you an example. You could probably do 8 to 10%, meaning you could probably, $20,000 to $25,000 a year in rental income, again, depending on its location. But if you're on the beach or you're near a beach or you're on the water or you're in downtown, that's where
it's
you're going
some more
to
money
get
out.
You know, a higher level of rental income.
All right, well, stick with us, Tom. We got to go. We got to pay for this now. It's got to be a commercial here. So,
yeah. Let's do that. And hey, you listen to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Dervis in 2019 by Window and Door Magazine's Best in the Country. Call Tom Adams Windows and Carpets and get a free in-home window and door estimate. Experience why Tom Adams and Windows family-owned company wins national awards for best customer service and best installations. Get 12-month financing with no deposit. We do it right the first time. Check us out at TomAdamsWindowsAndCarpets.com.
This is Joe Krause of Krause's Coats inviting you to donate a slightly worn coat or jacket and help veterans in need stay warm this winter. Go to Krause's Coats on Facebook and join Martin Law, the law firm for workers, to help those who served. Have a happy holiday.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
If you're starting a home project, let your valuable home help you avoid the pitfalls of a bad decision. Now back to Ron Milk and contractor Kevin Kennedy.
And you're back here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are talking to Tom Chance, real estate investor, real estate broker, and we're talking about Charleston. And for all of our listeners about golf, we're talking a little bit about golf also. So, but yeah, talking about the Charleston area, when you're renting into that, you said about an 8 to 10% is what you're looking to gain out of that area.
That's not bad.
That's a decent return you're getting right there.
Real decent return.
Well, that's based on a guess, since I can't quote any percentages. That's, you know, just a very good guess. But again, the key is there's so much growth going on, both from the growth of the economy and people visiting there all year long.
Well, what I'm thinking is, if you have, like, see, Jersey, I can only get so much during the hot months.
Right.
As it gets colder, it's tough to rent. So I'm really condensed when I rent my property during those hot months to get the big dollars out of it.
Right.
Charleston, you said it's a lot better. You got some nice weather
down
there.
Even if it's just a 10-month rental season or 11-month rental
season.
Well,
it's actually 12 months because I've gone swimming in the ocean on Christmas Day.
How about that? Huh? Let me ask you this.
That's a nice the further example is the average snowfall in the United States, average city, is 28 inches a year. In Charleston, it's zero.
Okay, so if you're planning on making a snowman around Christmas time, forget it.
You're not going to Charleston.
Let me ask you this. If I bought a rental property in Charleston proper or right outside, can I turn it into an Airbnb?
Yes and no. In downtown Charleston, you cannot. That just went into effect. It's now a law because of the rapid turnover of those kind of properties, Airbnb, the short-term rentals, even like overnight and one day and 2 days, that's no longer valid in Charleston. In other parts of outside of Charleston, further out, and even in my neck of the woods, Folly Beach, there's not those kind of restrictions. But most of the rentals, again, are not 1 or 2 days. You're talking about long weekends, weeks. You have people renting by the month. But in downtown Charleston only, that restriction has gone into place. And that's happening throughout the country. Restrictions on.
That's interesting. So I was just looking at Airbnbs in Charleston because they got the Jazz Festival coming up in January, the end of January. And there are a lot of Airbnbs listed. So is the assumption that all of those are owned by, if they're in Charleston, owned by Charleston residents? Or is there something grandfathered here?
I don't really know. There is, again, a significant number of non-resident, meaning out-of-state people, who invested in Charleston for that reason. Because Charleston is the fifth fastest growing real estate investment area in the country.
A lot of appreciation.
Number five.
A lot of appreciation. Right?
No, in terms of activity.
Oh, in terms of activity. Okay.
Yeah. It's so, a very popular place, a very popular city to invest again because of the growth that's going on, the visibility. You have a lot of millennials moving down to Charleston because of the job opportunities.
And they like walking area, walkable towns too, which Charleston is
I think your valuable home is going on the road trip here.
Yeah,
Charleston,
sounds good
here
to
we
me.
Come.
Sounds good to me. I love it down there.
Kevin, you stay out of Charleston. You're not allowed, pal.
I just want to go to Kiwi Island. That's all I want to do. It seems lucrative for people that it's someone going to invest because of the growth down there. If the growth's not there, the rental property is not going to sustain where you're going to get your money back, your return on your investment. But you're saying this growth is unbelievable. Any investors looking into it, they might as well jump on board now.
You and I have talked in the past about a couple big companies. Boeing's down there. Is it Volvo or Mercedes is down there too?
Volvo North America, Mercedes-Benz is down here. Amazon and Google have startups. What I do for folks, guys, is for folks who are looking for real estate investment properties down there, I call it full use investments, and that is they use the property, investment property, to rent. They also use it to maybe occasionally visit, and in many cases potentially have it as a place for them to retire. And that's sort of the profile for my wife and I. We bought it to rent, but also it's in consideration for retiring too because it's a great, great area to live in.
Yeah, and you can run down to Kiowa and have great dinner too. Or go to Husk, which is one of my favorite places.
No. You don't run down to Kiowa. You go to Charleston because, again, Charleston is one of the leading foodie city in the world.
Got it. Let me ask you this. If you want to buy a property that residents are going to live in instead of vacationers, and that would be a full-time situation round the clock, round the year,
right.
What are some of the areas? Out by where Boeing and the other companies are?
No, further out of town because the folks that are working in those places like in Boeing, Volvo, North America, they're buying out of town. Using Somerville as an example, where the new housing, four bedroom and such, and the high twos and low threes,
really,
and people can drive to Charleston, which is about 25 miles away. It's a commute, but compare a commute Philly to 25 miles out, you're going to find 275 to 3.25 type costs. Points for buying a brand new house.
You have to have the hurricane insurance out there?
Yeah, but again, it's based on what the flood plain or the flood zone that you're in.
Yeah, there's 50-year, there's 100-year, depending on how much.
So give us just a rundown, like three or four of those areas. Somerville is one. Somerville.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Somerville and that area. Surrounding Somerville, and another reason why that will continue to have significant growth, there's a lot of timber companies that will be selling off their land, their acreage over the next 3 to 5 years to a degree that new cities will probably pop up in those areas. And again, being 25 to 30 miles outside of Charleston, that's not a bad opportunity for a lot of folks.
You and I have to sit down and have a cup of coffee because I'm thinking about selling my rental property in Philly, and I love Charleston, and it would make a lot of sense. I wouldn't do the full-time thing. I would probably do a vacation property so I can carve out 2 weeks to go myself a year.
Yeah.
It's very, very appealing to me. Right?
Well, again, you have that available to you, and further, the best illustration is it's convenient. I can fly from Bucks County, where I am, down to Charleston in an hour and 18 minutes. Now, driving's a different story. Philly, it's probably about the same amount of time. And you want places, these kind of real estate investment opportunities, have convenience for you as the owner to use it but don't try to manage it yourself. Get a property management company to do the work for you. It's the best investment. Additional.
Oh, I buy into that 110%.
Yeah, it takes the headache out. I mean, that's one thing, having those management properties. Because, yeah, you're right. You're 10 hours away. It just makes more sense to do it that way. So, Tom, thanks again for coming on Your Valuable Home, enlightening us about
representing Charleston in a stellar way.
Yeah, so thanks again for doing it. And thanks to our listeners for hanging with us here at Your Valuable Home here on 1210 WPHT.
Okay, another great show. A lot of good information about investment properties. And stick with us next week. We got another great show coming up. We love doing this for you.
Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to Your Valuable Home, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.